welcome back. Hopefully you've listened to some of our other podcasts. If not, thanks for being a first-time listener. This is a Gal and a Gay podcast. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for tuning in to us. We're going to talk about some movies this time around. We usually talk about TV, but we went and saw a movie last night. We want to talk about it. So we're going to talk about the movie Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix, done by Spike Jonze. We're going to talk about that first. So let's go ahead and just start. So what did you think about it?
I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know going into it if I'd actually like it as much as I did. But it's fascinating. A fascinating look at technology and our addiction to technology and where technology could, I guess, eventually go one day.
Yeah, definitely.
But I liked it overall. I thought the performances were strong. I'm really surprised that Joaquin Phoenix was not nominated for an Academy Award.
I agree. I mean, he was really great in this movie, and I did like the movie, too. And I wasn't, like I told you last night, I was kind of on the fence about it before seeing it, and I really enjoyed it. So, and he was great. I mean, everybody was really great in this movie, I thought. So, I really enjoyed it. And I think it just kind of speaks, to me, it's kind of how relationships are in general, like how, you know, people grow and change. And even though she was like an artificial intelligence, she kind of grew and changed and, you know.
Which was the creepy part.
Yeah, exactly.
Was like when he first got this iOS or OS one, that's what they called it, and he could pick, okay, do you want it to be a male voice, a female voice? He basically created her. And then, you know, in the beginning it was like, it seems like, oh, it's kind of, I can see this happening. She was kind of, he kind of helped formed who she, I guess, it became. And then all of a sudden, she kind of started to want to know what it was like to feel. And,
yeah.
And so it was just, it was kind of creepy there toward the end, because it was like she was becoming a person or a being.
Yeah, a being, exactly.
Without ever seeing her, you're just hearing her voice and the way, and Scarlett Johansson, kudos to her.
Yes.
It was funny because we could hear the character development from the very first moment that you hear her voice, how she sounded, how she acted, to the very end.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, she did a great job, too, as the voice, and it was just really interesting to see it go from that. And you know, and then she's like, you know, we're all going to quit now. Like, me and a bunch of the other OSs, we're done. We're
going
to go
away.
We're going to a different plane or whatever they went, you know, to go live their own life, really, which is crazy.
Well, and to think, you know, at first you're like, oh my gosh, he is the only person that's becoming addicted to his OS. And then come to find out, Amy Adams, she plays another character named Amy in this movie, who's a friend of Theodore's, obviously played by Joaquin Phoenix. And she had a relationship with her OS.
They were more best friends kind of thing, because she was really friends with her OS. And
so then they kind of put everything in perspective, like, oh my gosh, a lot of people are having this experience, but we're just seeing one little, you know, one relationship.
Yes.
Because eventually in the movie, you see that he introduces his OS, Samantha, to his friends. And no one was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was perfectly acceptable. You know, like, people are like, oh, okay, you're dating an OS. You know, it just kind of became a norm in that world. And it's a little weird to think about that something like that could be acceptable. But then you think about, you know, online dating is perfectly acceptable now.
Right.
You know?
Well, you have to think, if a movie was made back in the 50s or 60s, looking at the 1990s when the internet just blew up and the online dating started, they might be looking the same way at that movie as we're looking at her.
Yes, exactly. You know, like, it's weird to think about, but if we did have something like that in this life, yeah, I think it probably would be perfectly acceptable to date your OS.
Right. Well, and I was telling you last night, this is obviously getting a little personal, but it kind of gave me flashbacks to when I first sort of started the online dating back in the 1990s. And, you know, my first online boyfriend lived in Seattle. Shout out to Troy. And, you know, it's like we had those conversations, and I had never met this person face to face. And you just the attraction, and you're so, you know, just so exciting.
I completely understand that. I mean, I have done the online dating thing too, and it's so easy to get attached to somebody who you don't really know in person, but you're talking, like, you know, you talk online or whatever, and it's just so much, it's pretty easy to get attached to somebody that way, you know, and so I think a lot of people probably could relate to that, you know, that there's just somebody who, for whatever reason, you click with them, and you may not necessarily know them in real life, but it's a, you know, it's in a relationship still, but
right. Yeah. And there were definitely some intimate moments on, and at that point in the movie, they had a few people walk out of the movie, which I thought was funny. I think some teenagers who just went in there just like, oh, let's go to the movies. And then it kind of got a little awkward,
weird. Yes. Yeah. And I would agree. It's a little weird, but I mean, again, is it much different than having, you know, cyber sex with somebody online, you know? So it's just really interesting. I mean, I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
I did too. And I appreciated the way the director handled a lot of those scenes, because most of it was just a close up of Joaquin Phoenix's face.
Yes.
And so that's another reason why I feel like he really should have been, nominated for an Academy Award, because just the expression on his face, and it was so personal and intimate, and it kind of put you in his mind of why he's in the place in his life where all of a sudden Samantha becomes such a big part of it.
Exactly. So, because he's been through, you know, a divorce and whatnot, and he's really just lonely, and I just think that's a lot of people probably can relate to that. So it's yeah, he really did a great job. And I agree. I'm glad that they handled the sex scenes the way they did, because it could have gone quickly. It could have gotten really, really awkward, but I mean, it wasn't too bad. So,
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. And I think it definitely deserves to be nominated and up with some of those other films. I've seen more of the films that have been nominated than you have. This is your first.
This is my first. The only of the Oscar-nominated films I have seen. And it's a good one. I'm glad we picked this one to go see. So, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the other one, so I can't give an informed decision as to what I think is going to win. But I think this one definitely deserved a nomination, and I'm glad it did. So, we'll see how that goes. But I agree. Joaquin should have gotten a nomination.
And I've been reading a couple articles how they're saying that he probably should have got a nomination over Leonardo DiCaprio. Even though Leonardo DiCaprio is amazing and fantastic, I think that this performance showed a little bit more of a range,
and
more of a vulnerability.
Scarlett Johansson too, as the voice of her.
I know, I was wondering that too.
She
it's
was
like,
really great.
I don't think there's ever been someone who's just been nominated or won an Academy Award in a major category, like lead actress, just based on the voice, which I think that could have really, because she did. She was incredible.
She was really great. I mean, you almost forget that you don't ever see her, because she's such a big part of the film, and I mean, and she conveys everything so well just through her voice. So, she did a really great job. So, it was a great movie. I recommend it. So, if you guys were thinking about seeing it, definitely you won't be disappointed.
And I liked how it, let's talk real quick, I liked how it ended.
I did too.
I was a little nervous because I thought it was going to go.
I did too.
I thought they were setting us up.
I thought it was going to go a completely different way too.
Right.
Completely. But
like,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Everyone's going to jump off a building, you know?
Everyone's going to jump to their deaths because their OS is left.
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
No, the whole time I was thinking the same thing, and I was just filled with anxiety because I was like, oh my God.
Right.
Anyway, yes. And I do have to say, I really loved, I'm glad Christopher Pratt was in this. I loved him.
Oh, right. I told you at first, I'm like, is that Christopher Pratt?
Uh-huh.
But then later I'm like, oh, I think it is. And then again, his character was, I don't know, his characters are so different that it's really hard to pin him, and he looked different.
So funny. I mean, I love him. He's on Parks and Rec, and he's so funny on Parks and Rec. And Olivia Wilde was great in this, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of guys will be able to relate to that character.
Yes,
because
definitely.
Of how nutty she ends up being.
Yes. And
hot, but nutty.
Yes, hot, but nutty. So
independent. Very. Yes. Very dependent.
Yes. So, we should talk about the pants, though. Like,
oh, right. There is no way, because this is supposedly set in LA in the not too distant future. There is no way guys will be wearing pants like that are up to their chest.
I mean, this movie was great, but
it was like
pants,
a howdy-doody pants or something.
Just kept bugging both of us. Both of us, we turned to each other and were like, what is with these pants?
Right. And sometimes they were real high.
Yes.
And other times they were just above the waist.
Yes. But why all the men were wearing them and they were up, up to the chest, and it's also in some cases, and it was just, oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Maybe that's how it'll be in the future. Who are we to judge? I mean, I'm sure.
True.
You know.
True. I don't know. I don't think that's questionable fashion
these days.
That's a good point. I don't think that that style is going to come back around, but who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're done with her. So that was, like I said, go check it out if you want to. It was really a really enjoyable mm-hmm. film. So we recommend it completely.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to get to some movie news now.
All right, we had some big movie news that just popped up in the last couple of days.
Yeah, something a lot of people are talking about.
Right.
And have a pretty good opinion on it, too.
Everyone has, definitely everyone has an opinion about this. And we're talking about the casting of Jesse Eisenberg and also Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
In the new Superman movie.
Superman, yeah, exactly.
So Jesse is going to play Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess it kind of goes back to, I mean, it's definitely a surprise that they cast him, I think, because mm-hmm. there was so many rumors about Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Oh, really?
Being cast as Lex Luthor.
That would be like a perfect Lex Luthor,
right?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, and so, because a lot of people were drawing parallels to his character on Breaking Bad and how perfect he would be, because in the comics, in the past movies, Lex has always been older than Superman, unless mm-hmm. you're talking Smallville on the CW, and that was an amazing show. And I loved that Lex Luthor. I mean, I've liked all of them. Kevin Spacey, Gene Hackman, fantastic. This just kind of came, I think, out of left field for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
Who are huge comic book fans and mm-hmm. Superman fans. And so I thought the Ben Affleck thing was going to be controversial.
Yeah.
And it was. It's controversial,
it still,
but this
kind
of takes the cake.
I would agree. Because, I mean, I think, say what you will about Ben Affleck, I think you could still see him as a Batman kind of role.
Right.
But, you know, it's like Jesse Eisenberg, I don't know for certain. I wouldn't say I am not a huge Superman fan, so I don't really know so much about it. But, you know, I've seen some of the films, and, I mean, as far as I know, it is a little strange that
right.
Jesse Eisenberg is going to play Lex Luthor. So.
It's definitely going to be a different take on the dynamic
mm-hmm.
of Superman versus Lex Luthor and the relationship, because, you know, Jesse is several years younger than Henry Cavill. So, and I love all the pictures going around the internet now of Jesse with no hair. You know,
yes.
Like, what is he going to look like? And I mean, but maybe
he won't be,
but
right?
Maybe,
like,
maybe
this
Lex
will
won't.
Be kind
It'll
of before
a...
that happens, right? Or
right.
maybe they're just in this universe.
It's gonna be totally different.
He's going to be, yeah, exactly. Just be completely different.
So. You know, a lot of people said that about Heath Ledger when he was cast
yes.
as the Joker.
Absolutely.
In The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And look how that turned out.
Yes. And
he
now
won
yes,
an Oscar.
Exactly. And,
so.
And now that's he's held up to such a high regard for
right.
that performance. And, you know, people compare him to everybody. So,
mm-hmm.
So he's like pretty much not a benchmark of any Joker. So, yeah. I mean, just because it's not what you think,
right.
it might turn out to be really great.
Well, and a lot of these movie makers, I mean, they have to, they're trying to leave their mark and make a mark
mm-hmm.
on these superhero movies. And I think that's one way to do it.
Yes.
I mean, Henry Cavill, he looks like a Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that works. Ben Affleck and Gail Gabbett, I think. She's going to play...
Wonder Woman. Yes, Wonder Woman. Yes, yes.
And, definitely. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, she's not muscular enough. She's not... thought of as Wonder Woman. But she, you know, she's been in the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, okay.
So I think she'll be great. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think we'll get a better idea once there's some filming and there's that first trailer.
Yes, that definitely.
Shows, Lex Luthor. I think it'll be good. I wasn't a huge fan of the Man of Steel. I went back and watched it a second time. And I liked it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
There are just some things that...
I haven't seen The Man of Steel yet, so now I definitely think I'll go and watch it just mm-hmm. so I can be informed when these new movies come out.
Right, and the film, they actually pushed it back the date. It's going to be released 9 months later to May 2016.
Yeah, May of 2016, so...
Which is probably...
Got a couple years.
Yeah, which is probably a good idea at this point, just to give them some more time to get all the pieces in place.
Yes.
And everyone... You know, there's a lot of speculation that they're going to shoot the Justice League back-to-back. So mm-hmm. they're going to shoot the Man of Steel, then the Justice League, because, you know, it's rumored that the last 10 to 15 minutes of this next Man of Steel, or Superman versus Batman, whatever they're going to call it, that the Justice League is going to show up. All these other superheroes, like Aquaman, you know, Green Lantern, they're all mm-hmm. going to show up at the end of the movie. And so, from a filmmaker standpoint, if you could just start shooting
That's
the next
true.
Movie
That's
right
true.
After that... It's going to save some money.
Yeah.
And, you know, since we're talking about casting of this next Superman movie, there's a rumor out there that Josh Holloway from Lost will be the next Aquaman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His show is not doing as well on CBS Intelligence as a lot of people.
I haven't even
had
heard
hoped.
Of that one.
You don't really watch many shows on CBS.
No, I don't watch
CBS.
Yeah.
Not really our demographic necessarily. Unless it's the Big Bang. I love the Big Bang Theory. But Josh Holloway, I think, would be a great Aquaman. But again, those are just rumors. Again, Bryan Cranston was rumored to play Lex Luthor, and look how that turned
yes,
out.
Yes, that's true.
Jesse Eisenberg was cast.
We should talk about Jeremy Irons. What do you think about Jeremy Irons as Alfred?
I don't know. I think...
Yeah. I think he's going to be phenomenal because he's Jeremy Irons, but it's also he's playing Alfred. I don't know. Well, the thing with Jeremy Irons is I always associate him with a bad guy.
Right. Scar.
Always Scar, exactly.
From,
he was in that, in one of the Die Hard films, you know, he was a bad guy in that. So I always associate him with a bad guy. So it'll be interesting. He's really good, but.
And again, I mean, he's not at the age where we usually see an Alfred kind of character. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe he will play more of a role in the action than just being there to pick up Bruce Wayne when he's
trouble. Yes, definitely. I don't think he's just going to be, you know, the mm-hmm. butler who will be.
Right. I don't think Jeremy Irons is going to sign on to be.
Exactly. He's obviously,
sidekick.
This role's got to be a lot bigger than, you know, just mm-hmm. a sidekick or whatever for Jeremy Irons to get involved. In it,
speaking of sidekicks, there has to be some kind of announcement
Robin.
Of a Robin.
Yeah.
Can't bring the Justice League in and not up Robin or Nightwing or whatever way they're going to go with that character, especially with Ben Affleck's character being an older Batman. Somebody's going to have to.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
To be there. So it'll be interesting to see who they come up with this.
I bet there will be some more casting news out of that
coming
up the closer they get to production and whatnot. So,
well, hopefully we hear more about the next Star Wars movie and casting before we hear about more more Justice League and Superman. I mean, that's the movie that I am waiting for. I am following every blog, every Twitter, I can't wait. And the great thing is they do release a lot of news on StarWars.com or their Twitter handle. So, again, I'm following. I'm making sure that I'm going to
will let you handle that. I'm not... I'm just going to say this right now. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan.
Well, you have 2 years, so we're going to make
I've tried my whole life to get into it, and I
really?
Have not. Yeah,
you've watched them all?
Yeah, I've seen
them all. All the way through?
Yes, I have.
With your brother?
Well, maybe not the last one that came out. I haven't seen that one. But, I mean, all the other ones I saw. What I used to watch when I was a kid. And we went and saw Phantom Menace in the theater.
That one doesn't really count. Thanks for bringing that one up. Thanks for bringing that one up.
But anyway, I just can't get into it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you know, podcast world. I just can't get into it. But I am a woman.
Again, I'll work on her own with that one. All right, let's talk about another piece of movie news.
This is exciting while simultaneously being like a little crushing for me because I don't know how it's going to turn out. But Disney is working on a live action / CGI of the Rescue Rangers.
Think of Alvin and the Chipmunks, basically.
Yes.
But they're
Smurfs,
doing Rescue Rangers.
That sort of thing. I mean, for those of you who are around our age, I'm sure you grew up watching Rescue Rangers, and it was fantastic. Yeah. It was one of my favorite shows growing up. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
Right.
I feel like it's probably going to be really horrible.
You know, the one thing that they do need, they have to include, the theme song. Let's take a listen to it right now. Rescue Rangers.
Anyway.
That's good stuff. But here's the thing. Like, I will probably see this.
I will probably see it, yes.
But it's like, but here's the thing. So they're bringing Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, which obviously we love. I don't think it's as popular as some of the other properties like DuckTales. If they could do a DuckTales movie, that would change everything.
I don't know, though, but I would just, if they were to do DuckTales, it'd have to be like animation. Like,
completely.
Just can, like,
completely.
You know, like 2D, right. And none of this, the 3D / live action. I would get so, like, I think that would ruin it.
Yeah.
It would be like Howard the Duck of DuckTales. Could you imagine that?
Well, maybe it's good. Okay, well, maybe it's good that they're not touching DuckTales.
Yes.
Because that would probably upset me more.
Yeah.
But Chip and Dale's, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
well, all right, live action, but is it going to be based in reality, or is it their own little world? Because with Alvin and the Chipmunks, they were based with humans.
Yes, exactly. Right. But on Chip and Dale,
I can't remember.
It was more cartoonish. It was mostly them solving crimes, and I don't remember a lot of humans being in it. But
right.
I know for certain they didn't have any, like, human...
Right.
Friends,
yeah, why live action,
I guess. So what I'm assuming is it's going to be in our world, but I would think, Chip and Dale and Gadget and the fat mouse guy. I forgot his name. It's been a while since I've seen the show. But, and Zip, I think his name is. He's a little fly, I think. If I remember correctly.
Oh, right, Zip. Let's bring back some movies.
But anyway, I think they're probably going to be, CGI and hopping around in the real world. So that's what I envision. That's why I'm a little, I don't know.
Yeah.
A little on the fence about this.
Right. But again, it's a Disney property. It's going to make tons of money no matter how bad
it is. It is
going to
make tons of money. Absolutely.
Especially the first one. Mm-hmm. So, but okay, that's good. All right.
It'll be interesting. And, what they really should keep the theme song, too.
I'm sure
they'll do an updated version of that.
They need to have Miley Cyrus or some big pop star redo it a little bit. Maybe One Direction, have them rework the intro.
Oh, they'll make it. No. How about Justin Bieber?
You brought him up. I did not. I know you're a fan of him.
I am not a fan.
Yeah, well, you brought him up. So.
Whatever.
Hopefully Bieber will be in jail by then.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, anyway, if you are listening and you have feelings about any of this movie news, just email us or tweet us or Facebook us about it, and we'd like to hear what you think. So
yeah, tweet Twitter @ a gal and a gay.
Email
Facebook, same thing.
Email is agalandagay@gmail.com.
Right.
So just go ahead and send us your comments. Okay, so we're gonna move on to we just watched this last night because it is something we've both been wanting to watch. Great Gardens.
And not the original documentary. We watched the Jessica Lange,
the HBO movie.
And we did watch a little bit of the documentary afterwards because we were so fascinated,
yes, to see. I still can't believe these are real people, that these people actually existed, because they're just so both so over the top, but very fascinating.
And kudos to Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange, because obviously we saw the movie first and then went back and watched the doc, and it was just like...
It was...
Their take on the characters were so almost identical.
Almost identical, exactly. I agree. I mean, especially Jessica Lange, like, she looked so much and acted so much just like...
Big Edie.
Yes, Big Edie. And Drew Barrymore was just fantastic in this. Like, it was amazing. I really enjoyed the movie, so...
I did too. Fascinating look at how things can go so wrong so fast.
Exactly.
And, you know, at first, I think, with Big E, when Little Edie left, and that's when Big Edie started to collect those cats, and she needed something to hold on to, because she couldn't control Little Edie at that time until she had got her heart broken, and she missed that audition, and... just how it just spiraled out of control. Yes. And we talked about this in the last podcast, what we do for a living. We work in the news media. And I can't tell you how many cases of hoarding I have covered.
Yes.
And it is bad. And I remember when the scene in the movie where the inspectors come and they're like, and Little Edie was like, who complained? And they're like, well, everyone downwind of you.
Yes.
And when you cover these cases, you know, we're standing on the street. How bad it smells, and you can't even imagine what it actually smells like if you were inside the house, and what the people who go in and take the cats out and deal with the people. Oh,
I know. And you know, in this movie, they did that a lot. You know, every time anyone went into that house, they were just like, "Oh my gosh, how do you live like this?" And you know, I understand a lot of those people have a lot of emotional problems that kind of spiral them into this, into that hoarding business, which is really sad, but it's just, wow. It's every time you see something like that, I still can't believe that it happens.
I think I'm too OCD to let that ever happen.
Yeah.
But there are the people who are the complete opposite, and then they're living in their own reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that reality is scary. I mean, just from what I understand, again, by covering these people get, it just kind of, again, spirals out of control, and then they don't smell how bad it, you know, they don't understand what kind of conditions they're actually living in compared to where it should be, where the conditions should be. Just fascinating. Drew Barrymore, and this came out in 2009, I think, you know, many of the roles that she had before were, you know, in comedies, and this was a complete.
This was definitely something, that you don't see her do all the time, and so she really knocked it out of the park with that one. I thought, and you know, and I'd never heard of this until recently, you guys told me about it, and it's fantastic. I wish I had known about it sooner and seen it sooner.
Well, the documentary has been such a big thing in pop culture.
Yes.
And then, you know, they did the HBO show, and I think it just kind of made it even bigger, because you have these two stars that did such an amazing job with this. And, yeah, it's like they kind of have their place in history now.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And I liked that they included Jackie O in.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. I'm glad they brought that in. Because, I mean, they're the reason. She's the reason they were so, you know, they made the movie, because she's, you know, their cousin. Yeah,
relatives, right.
Yeah.
These could have been people that we'd never heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
The only reason is because they were connected to her.
Yeah, to Jackie O. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I highly recommend it. Now, again, we watched just bits and pieces of the actual original documentary. I do want to go back and watch.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch all of it.
The original. I mean, I've always wanted to put together a documentary. And I mean, obviously, they struck gold. And then they knew it. They knew right when they met Little Edie that, and, you know, reading about them in the paper and then actually going there and experiencing it for themselves. And yeah, fascinating.
Very fascinating. Very, very great film. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad we watched that last night. So,
yeah, me too. And of course, we want to hear what. Obviously, we want to hear what you think of this. If you haven't seen it, if you, you know, we definitely recommend that you watch it and let us know either, again, on Facebook, Twitter, or just email us.
Yeah, it's just, it's something to see. You know, it's like I said, it's hard to believe that people like this actually existed, that these were real people.
But, and I liked the ending, how she finally became the star that she always wanted.
Yes, yes, it was really nice. And she, and you know, at the end of the film, they were saying, you know, she got to do her cabaret act, and then she eventually got to move away from Grey Gardens and got to live at some other places. So that's really nice. You know, it's nice to have to hear that she did finally kind of get what she wanted in life. So it was really nice.
Well, she got to become the person that was always in her head.
Yes, exactly. You know?
Yeah. And yeah, so it was sweet. It was very, very sweet. So highly recommend it.
Yes, I would definitely recommend it. Absolutely. So, okay. Right.
Well, hey, please rate us on iTunes. We are now there. Our podcasts are streaming in there. We got our logo up again. Thanks to Podcast Designs for helping us with that logo. We love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please, please rate us. It just takes a few seconds. It really does help. Kind of get your podcast pushed to the top.
We want to get rated. Before we go, we do want to quickly mention that, you know, a week from today is when Walking Dead returns. Mm-hmm. We're very excited for that, so you can look forward to podcasts about that. We are most likely going to do a podcast right immediately after the show returns next Sunday, so you can look out for that. So.
Yep, Sunday, February 9th, AMC. So yes. We're really excited about that. Again, Walking Dead.
It's such a great show. Yes, such a great show.
I was a little nervous about it after the end of last season when they were still at the prison. You know, spoiler alert, Lori died.
Yes.
And I was a little, it was like, oh, we're back at the prison. They totally could have just ended it right there. So I was a little, you know, the governor was still on the loose, but I forced myself to watch it. And I'm glad I did because right before the mid-season finale,
fantastic.
And I feel like it's back on track. You know, over the last couple seasons, they've changed showrunners, they've changed
so much has changed.
Usually that's
not great. Not great. Yeah, for a series, absolutely. Yeah,
the sort of the kiss of death sometimes because you know you're going one way creatively, and then you have to shift gears and. Then that new person has to come in, and you know, many times you see that a lot of shows get canceled because they lose their way. But luck has been on their side;
it has
worked out.
I enjoy it, and I've stuck through it since the beginning. And I mean, I know that a lot of the diehard fans who read the graphic novels are, you know, aren't always pleased with the way things are done. But I enjoy it. I mean, as a series, I think, you know, I agree. There are some things where I'm like, ugh, okay, enough. But I do have high hopes for this. Second half of the season since the way we ended the last for the mid-season finale, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So
Well, and you know, sometimes it's like I don't know how much longer this can last or how much longer I can watch because it's sort of depressing because
nothing ever goes right for these guys. I mean I guess it's not going to be in a zombie apocalyptic world but it's, you know, it's still like, holy crap, like nothing goes right. You know, oh, we found shelter in prison, and then, you know, oh, well, somebody's going to try and take it from us, or we have an outbreak of a deadly virus, and,
We have some crazy guy who's trying to kill us.
Exactly.
Kill everyone. This is a great point to mention that Chad Cole, who plays Abraham on The Walking Dead, he's actually going to be at Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's Planet Comic-Con. I don't know how many years they've been doing it. I think just a couple. It's going to be at Bartle Hall. We're planning on going.
Yes.
It looks like a great lineup. Again, Chad Cole, who plays Abraham from The Walking Dead, will be there. And they have this really big Star Trek, sort of a little mini Trek convention there as well. They have other Margot Kidder.
Yes.
The original, not the original, but the super Lois Lane from the Christopher Reeves days, John Ratzenberger, who obviously was Cliff Clavin on Cheers.
Cliff Clavin, yes.
Way before your time, but not mine.
I watched Cheers. I don't remember much about it, but I remember watching it.
Yeah. But anyway, like William Shatner, Will Wheaton, Jonathan Frakes, LeVar Burton.
Yeah, that's huge. I can't believe that's happening.
Gates McFerrin, Michael Dorn. It's going to be
exciting. Like I cannot believe that's happening here in Kansas City. So, that'll be, we're definitely going to try and go, and hopefully we can, you know, get some interviews or some, at least some pictures or something. Right, and put them on our podcast. Yeah, so that would be so cool.
Yeah, and I think they have a Twitter account. It's Planet underscore Comic-Con.
Yeah, so for those of you in Kansas City who listen to us, you should totally check it out.
Right. Oh, and I'm sure a lot of people like Comic-Con. People travel to different
Yeah, I hope so. So, I mean, especially if you're a big Star Wars fan, or Star Trek.
Oh, sorry. Kitty.
That was just a slip of the tongue. I'm sorry. I'm totally, that's it. I totally know the difference.
Now, now you're going to have, I'm going to force you to watch a Star Wars marathon, all six movies. Yeah. So you did it to yourself.
I know. I'm sorry. I know that is like a huge taboo. I apologize.
It's pretty big. So, all right.
Anyway.
Well, now that we're going to start our Star Wars marathon, because she can't figure out the difference between Star
Wars. Well, it was just a slip of the tongue.
You'll definitely know the difference after we watch it. Anyway, well, hey, thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast again. Please rate us on iTunes.
Yes, please. And, you know, follow us on Twitter at a gal and a gay. Email us, galandagay@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook at galandagay. So, please, yeah, just please like us, follow us, and let us know what you think, and please go to iTunes, rate us.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
So you guys have a good day.
All right. See you next time.